When we allocate our time, money, energy, and effort in specific areas of our business, we are guaranteed to see growth. For 2022, Ashley Jankowski of The Typeset Co. chose to invest in and focus their marketing efforts on SEO, and their results have paid off. They have seen over 600% more visitors to their website, and their email subscribers have grown. Today on the podcast, I'm continuing my conversation with Ashley. If you haven't listened to part one yet, I encourage you to go back and listen. In part one, we talked about how she found her overseas manufacturing partners, what that process was like, and lessons she's learned along the way. We also talked about how she has strategically expanded into new product categories. And if you missed that one, please do push pause and go back and listen before you jump in here. It's a good primer for what we're talking about today. On today's episode, we are talking about how The Typeset Co. markets their products, including why she's investing in video, stop motion video, SEO, and copywriting support. We talked at length about why Ashley prioritized SEO for the business in 2022, what that process was like, changes she made on her blog and to her product listings, and she shared the current results. But more importantly, she also shared next steps in their plans. So this is a process, and she shared that process with us. Today's episode is brought to you by our Email Marketing for Product Makers Guide, which will help you map out a year's worth of marketing emails in under an hour. If you have ever struggled with what to say or how many emails to send, either for wholesale or your direct-to-consumer customers, then this tool is for you. Head to prooftoproduct.com/email marketing and download your free guide today. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/email marketing. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Okay, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about marketing. You have done an incredible job of weaving in creative, thoughtful marketing that really tells a story through your products. For example, you do a lot of videos on Instagram. Your captions are really on point. I know this stems from your background in branding and marketing, and that's really an incredible skill set that you have to bring to this. But these videos and things, is this something that you all are doing in-house, or is this something you outsource? How are you coming up? I'm sure you are not having a shortage of ideas, but it's always the implementation that is difficult for brands sometimes. So how are you implementing on these ideas?
I would say I could do a better job of implementing videos. but thank you for that. I don't love being in front of the camera, so I don't do a lot of videos like that, but I have a stop motion artist that I work with that's really amazing. I have a videographer team that is really amazing, and I do probably 5 to 6 videos a year with them, with the videographer. And then I do 3 quarterly with the stop motion artist. And so I utilize those wherever I can. I can do some stop motion videos myself, since I also have a background in photography. So I have a degree in graphic design and a degree in commercial photography. So I do all that as well. So I can do some of that. And then my fulfillment manager actually has been filming behind the scenes videos of him stocking and what our warehouse looks like and kind of behind the scenes stuff, and loves it. So he's turned into a TikTok king. So
I love it.
That's kind of where I could do video better, I'm sure.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. I think the whole team is doing a great job, but I know, having worked with so many different people, we have a ton of ideas, and it's a matter of carving out the time to implement, because you, Ashley, are wearing so many different hats in your business. Even though you do have a team to help with things, you've outsourced things very strategically, there's still only a limited number of hours in your day. And so, how do we find the balance of what we're capable of doing ourselves, what we need to outsource and all of that. I also know we did an SEO training inside of Labs a while back, and you started working with Jessica Freeman, who was the expert that we brought in to teach us. And I know that you've seen great results from prioritizing SEO efforts for the last several months. Can you share more information about that? Like, what has that process been like for you?
Yeah, well, working with Jess has been, it's been an awesome experience. So like you said, I found her in the Labs program. And I had her do an audit. I think she did the Labs thing last November, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was last fall.
And I reached out and had her do an audit, which I didn't really know what that was, but I knew that I needed to work on SEO. We had actually been blogging since 2020, like when everything sort of was like, we were closed down. I was like, what can I do? I was like, well, I'll start blogging stuff. It was when we came up with this quote idea. Like, we're going to do these quote posts that give people ideas for things they can actually put on their boards or their fridge or whatever. And so I had all this content and I was like, I know I could be utilizing this better. I'm probably not a great learner. I know that sounds so weird, but like, if I go buy a course, I'm not going to learn as much than I am in a group like Labs. So I can like actually have conversations with people. So I do better in a kind of more of a one-on-one or a group setting where instead of like listening to videos, it's just Same. Not how I learn well.
Yeah.
And so, which is why I joined Labs, right? So I could have this community of people to bounce ideas around and learn things from. So anyway, I realized that like after she did the audit and I went in to try to like make some of the changes that she said, it was actually a lot of like things we were ranking for, but like not very high, or like things that people were searching for that she thought we could rank for. So I went in and actually developed a lot of blog post ideas based on that audit. I had my copywriter write, you know, we sort of started adding to our list of blog posts that we're going to expand on. And then I was like, I feel like I need a little bit of one-on-one help. So I reached out to Jess again. I was like, I really want some one-on-one help. You know, would you be up for that? I don't even think it was something she was offering at the time. So I think I was kind of a first. So essentially we have one call a month. I go over all the blog post ideas that I've had. We talk about what the keywords for those posts need to be, you know, things like that. That's kind of our monthly routine. Or I'll be like, I'm doing a new press page. And can we look over the content and determine like what does the structure of this need to be from an SEO perspective? So like, she's, you know, you need to actually have this as a header, have, you know, this many words of content, have this many links. So we actually went through every blog post and she developed sort of a format for me to pass along to my copywriter. And awesome. I had my copywriter actually go through and edit every single blog post we've ever written since 2020. And she was like, every blog post needs to be this long. So it was like optimizing the content, and you need to have this many internal links and this many external links, you know. And then we went through a lot of the old content, a lot of the old titles, even the blog titles, and changed those. Wow. So like, that's kind of been happening behind the scenes. So her and I,
that's a huge project.
It's a huge project. So, I mean, just the old post, because we were doing like 4 to 6 blog posts a month since March of 2020. So we had a ton of blog posts that we needed to go through and optimize. So it wasn't like I was doing it. It was, you know, her and I kind of brainstorming, and then I would make a list and then pass it on to my VA, who is also a copywriter, which is a great asset to have.
I think
thank goodness I didn't do that myself. Thank goodness.
No, that's a huge project. Okay. But tell everybody the results, because you shared something on social, and the percentage of increase in terms of traffic and views to your website was incredible. What was the percentage? I can't recall.
So I think it's like 600% or something. Like, it was crazy. It's a crazy number. So that here's an example. Crazy. We talked yesterday and we were just looking at the number. So last October, this is really before the audit, before anything, last October, I had 1,100 visitors to our site that month, 1,100. This month, we're at like 11,000.
Wow.
Month to date.
Yeah, we're not even, I mean.
So that's even more. And then same thing with Like we looked at how many keywords I was ranking for, and I was ranking for, let me tell you what it was, organic keywords. I was ranking for 100 keywords, 160 keywords in October of 2021. And now I'm ranking for 8,000.
Wow. Ashley, that's huge. Okay. So let's talk about that. I mean, that's a huge project. Just worked one-on-one with you after doing the audit. You had your copywriter, like it was a full team effort. How is that translating to more sales too? Have you seen a bump in revenue on the direct to consumer side because of it?
No, we still have some work to do in that area. So just because you're getting more traffic doesn't mean you're getting more sales, but it gives you the opportunity to convert those people. So organically, like conversions have gone down. I mean, naturally, when your audience goes up, your conversions are going to go down. Like same thing with the email list. So you get more people on your email list, you're going to have your open rate's going to tank, or it's going to feel like it tanked.
Really, it feels like it tanks. Yeah.
It feels like it tanked.
Have you had more people join your email list?
Yes, I have.
See, and that's nurturing them further to buy. Like that's part of the.
So that's now that we've got this organic traffic up, it's been a year, you know, it's the year of SEO. Now I've got to work on some call to actions and other things that are going to help convert those people. So now that I have this, all this data, I can figure out like, what are those? Like yesterday, Jess and I talked about, okay, so these are your five most popular blog posts. You need to figure out how to add some call to actions to those to get them to take action, essentially. Yeah. So like, we're going to test it out with those five, figure out if we can get those pages to convert better. So that's our next step. That's what we're working on now. So
it is a step.
It's not, it's not just a, like, you're going to do SEO and it's going to be magical. And like, you're going to have all this money, you know,
yeah,
you're going to shake the money tree. It doesn't really work like that. I think that it's going to be a combination of creating these call to actions on pages, maybe even redesigning some of the website a little bit, and retargeting them. So we're just getting in. I'm just getting into more of the Facebook, Instagram, Google retargeting ads. So like you can, those people have visited your site. Now you can retarget them to come back, because it's not just a, they're going to visit your site once and buy. They might, it takes like 17 touches or something for someone to make action, you know,
I think it's even more than that nowadays, but I agree with you. It's a multi-step process, but seeing the increase in visitors and having more eyeballs on your site does allow you to then take that second step of, okay, also one, what are we working towards? Are we just going for sales conversions? Are we going for, we want people to be added to our email list? Like what is that next step goal that we're trying to obtain and working towards that? So I appreciate you sharing that with us. Looking back at your entrepreneurial journey, what is one lesson that you wish you had learned sooner in your business?
Probably I should have hired a team sooner. I'm not very good at outsourcing and training. Like even the employees I've had in the past, I don't know that I've trained them as well as I have now. So I've hired two people this year, two new people.
Yeah.
And I sat down and wrote out a process guide, essentially, like a, what do you call those, Katie?
Standard operating procedures.
Yeah. I sat down and wrote down SOP manuals for sales and for fulfillment.
That's great.
I recorded videos of everything before I even hired people. I sat down and recorded all these videos on how to do things, how to run and then we update them periodically as well as things change. So like just having somebody that's trained. I mean, I was out of town for 2 days this week and I wasn't stressed out at all that there was going to be some emergency. In fact, that's one of the things I have in my SOP manual. There are no alphabet magnet emergencies,
right?
None.
I know.
There are no, that's one thing I love about the product business. I mean, I know maybe that doesn't apply to everybody, but like everything can be fixed. If there's a mistake, if something was damaged in shipment, it can be fixed. Like
it can be
fixed. There's no, like no reason to be upset. If a customer is upset, send them a new thing. If their thing is damaged, send them a new thing. It's no big deal. There are no alphabet magnet emergencies. Whereas when I was in the branding firm, you know, people were I felt like everything was an emergency, you know, I need this catalog yesterday. I'm like, well, you haven't even sent me the content yet for it. How am I going to get it to you yesterday? Like, it's like, it always felt very stressful, but.
Well, on the branding side too, you're kind of absorbing other people's emotions around the timelines and the projects. So, you know, something may feel like an emergency for them, or they have a timeline that maybe they didn't communicate with you, or maybe they didn't have their assets ready. And so sometimes their lack of planning creates an emergent situation, but yet really it's not, but
it's their emergency. It's not my emergency.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So I've put that into my team's mindset that, you know, there are no emergencies in this business. Like, you know, everything will be okay. Everything can be fixed. Like, don't, you know, I want to make an environment for my employees that is not stressful.
Totally.
I want them to feel happy at work. So anyway, having good employees is a really good.
I feel the same about me looking back at, you know, I had my product business for over 8 years. I've had Proof to Product now for 12 years. And I absolutely agree with you. If I had hired sooner, I think.
And also if you trained better, like that was what I realized having employees in the past is that if they weren't trained well, you were nervous to be gone. I'm not like they're so well trained now. Like they don't need me. They don't. I've trained them. I've given them all of the assets that they need in order to be successful and to not need me.
You know, last summer in 2021, my family and I took a 3-week road trip. We bought a little pop-up camper and I did bring my laptop with me, but I never once opened it over the course of 3 weeks. And labs kept going and my coaching clients were fine. Like everything was fine. And that felt like a huge win to me that I could truly step out of the business for 3 whole weeks. I did check in the midpoint just to be like, hey, everyone good? Any like any fires that I need to like provide feedback on, but they were handling it. And, you know, I think it's the training that you talked about. It's trusting the people that, you know, are working with you, giving them autonomy and authority and permission to make decisions within your business. They may not do it the same way that you would do it, but hopefully they're getting to the same results and you know, outcomes that you're hoping for. So that felt like a huge win to me. So I agree with everything you just said. Well, let's talk about what's next for Typeset Co. What do you guys have coming up that you want to share with our audience?
Oh, Katie, I don't know. We've been kind of knee deep in the sticker launch, so we'll see. One thing I'm doing right now is kind of shifting how I will be ordering our letters in the future. I used to order like a couple of containers a year, but then we'd run out of stuff and I'd be out of things for 6 months, which would be really frustrating. So I'm going to start ordering our smaller orders kind of in between to fill out our most popular items. So just like I'll place an order that'll just be they call it less than container, less than load. So I'll order like a few pallets of things instead of a 40-foot container of things.
Right.
Just so I could fill in. But I'm just trying to like creep along and like not be too stressed out about where the economy's going and, you know, make sure that I have kind of my ducks in a row and that I'm not going to be out of things when people are ready to shop. That's kind of like the mindset that I'm in. So I don't necessarily have any like cool, fun products other than like, we're just going to keep chugging along with these stickers and we're so excited that we just launched to the wholesale market. I don't know if we'll launch to direct to consumer with that line or not, but we're pretty excited about that. And we'll release some of those new additions essentially with the themes in January. But we're chugging along.
I just want to give you a little pep talk and say status quo is totally good. That means you're building a sustainable business. And so we don't always have to have something new and shiny to share.
Yeah, but, exactly.
I also, you know, I love what you said too about how you're shifting your manufacturing runs. I assume that that's probably going to make it one easier for you to maintain inventory and have products in stock when you need them. But also from a cash flow perspective, it must be a little bit easier than having, you know, a couple of very large orders and having that cash outflow.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. So that's what I'm hoping. You know, I'm really always trying to like, how can I do this better? What do I need to, how do I need to shift gears and and keep my stress levels down. Honestly, like the supply chain stuff is like the most stressful thing about this business. We're not going to come out with a ton of new stuff in January. We're just going to like try to make sure we have the things that are the most popular that we know people love that are the best sellers. In fact, we're going to be discontinuing some things in January that just aren't as good. And I think that's a great way to prepare for whatever is in the future that we're kind of all unsure about.
Yeah. I think that's wise as we head into 2023. You're being careful and intentional with your cash flow. You're being careful and intentional with your product development. I mean, in a lot of ways, this isn't the time to take huge risks in launching something new, but yet you've done it in a very smart way by bringing those stickers in house with, you know, manufacturing you can control. And, you know, just kudos to you, Ashley, for like really building a strong, sustainable business.
Thank you. Yeah, there's something really cool about, and I don't know if other people have their own equipment, but like there's something so cool about designing something and literally just sending it to print and it's a finished final product. So like, I'm still like elated about that. Just like, man, this is so cool. Like I could just make this thing and sell it. And I'm not, you know, since we've been manufacturing, I'm not a maker. I wouldn't consider myself a maker.
Yeah.
But maybe now I am. It's so cool. So I'm going to ride that high. I'm going to ride that high for the next year.
Good. All right. Well, tell everybody where they can find you online if they want to buy your products or follow you on social.
Yeah. We're at the Typeset Co. everywhere. So typesetco.com, thetypesetco.com, and then the Typeset Co. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. All the things.
So, fantastic. Yeah. We will include those links in the show notes for everyone. Ashley, I really appreciate your transparency today and just your, you know, sharing your journey with us. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me so much.
Of course. All right. Big thanks to Ashley for sharing the inner workings of her business decisions with us these last two episodes. When we pull back the curtain and share not only what we're doing in our businesses, but why we've made those decisions, it truly sparks ideas for others and helps them make educated decisions in their own business. You know, Proof to Product was founded on the idea that together we can grow stronger by sharing and leveraging resources, experience, and knowledge with each other. We will all have a smoother growth trajectory for our business. So again, community over competition. Before we sign off, I want to remind our Labs members to go back and rewatch the SEO for product-based business training with Jessica Freeman. You can find it in our resources and tools section within the Labs community. And we'll include the link here in our show notes too, so you can quickly access it. Also, I just got an email from Jess, and she is offering a very special SEO audit, not just to our Labs members. She is opening this up to our Proof to Product community at large, but there's only a limited number of spots. So I'm going to put Jessica's link in the show notes here so that you can go investigate whether her SEO audit would be a good fit for your business. Now, where do you find the show notes? Well, right in the app that you're listening to, whatever podcast app you're listening to, you can read the show notes. You can also go to prooftoproduct.com/274. And that is where you will find all of the detailed show notes of what we talked about on this episode and links to things like Jessica's SEO audit offer. So if that is something you're interested in, definitely check out the show notes and head to that. I want to thank you all for listening until the end. If you have learned something new by listening to our Proof to Product podcast, I would be so grateful if you could do one of three things. One, share your favorite episode with a friend. Two, leave us a 5-star rating inside of Apple Podcasts. And three, write us a glowing review on Apple Podcasts. You sharing the show and leaving reviews and ratings helps us get more eyes and ears on what we're doing here at Proof to Product, which enables us to continue putting out free content here on the podcast each and every week. It's truly a win-win. All right, friends, I will be back next week with a new episode. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for listening.